This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the show where each time we take a trip back in time and listen to stories from our greatest generation. The idea is to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, to preserve their stories for posterity, and along the way be educated and inspired as we hear what life was like way back then and how they endured one of the more turbulent times in world history. Today's going to be a little different, and I guess I need to explain it a little bit. I mentioned preserving their stories, and it's so satisfying for me to know that the families of the veterans you hear from on this show will always have their stories long after the veterans themselves are gone. I end up feeling a connection to each veteran who sits down with me, but the guy we're going to hear from today has been a really special friend in my life. Dr. Stan Lindquist just passed away at the age of 96. He lived a truly remarkable life, and we're going to explore that, but I want to give you a little background. I've been interviewing a World War II veteran a week for almost 9 years now. I started because of my grandfather, who was a decorated Army doctor in World War II and had never really said much about how he earned the Silver Star and the Bronze Star in Europe. I always think about him this time of year as I wonder just how awful, how freezing, how horrible it must have been for him and those thousands upon thousands like him involved in the Battle of the Bulge. He was one of the first vets that I talked to as part of a series on local television, and that series eventually led to this companion radio program, and it also led to a lot of invitations to go speak at different service clubs around Central California. So as a result, many years ago, I was speaking to a Rotary Club in downtown Fresno about World War II veterans and the idea of preserving their stories, and a guy named Brent Lindquist came up to me and introduced his father. He told me his dad had been wounded in the war and had spent a lot of time in foxholes overseas using a flashlight to write letters home, not just letters to his wife, but letters of encouragement for other servicemen published in his church newsletter. Sounded somewhat interesting, and he later gave me copies of some of those letters, and once I finally got around to reading them, I was absolutely blown away by the wisdom, the inspiration, the perspective that this young man had displayed in the midst of a war zone. I put together a television piece with Dr. Stan, and we're going to listen to a radio interview with him from 2007 when Hometown Heroes was just getting started. I'm guessing you probably didn't hear it at the time, and if by some chance you did, I don't think you're going to mind too much hearing it again all these years later. Right now, to just give you a taste here, let me read you one of these columns that then PFC Stanley Lindquist wrote in October 1944, and I'll let you be the judge of how prescient and how relevant it proved to be. This is before the Battle of the Bulge, more than 6 months before the eventual defeat of Germany, but he titled his entry in that newsletter, Hitler's Punishment. In response to a contest for a possible punishment for Hitler after the war, a young black girl who lived in a northern city submitted a rather unique plan. She suggested that Hitler be given black skin and made to live in the United States. She won the prize. This is, of course, a purely hypothetical answer, but is it possible that a member of a minority race in our country, the land where all are supposed to be free and equal politically, at least to an extent, can have a feeling that such a punishment might be considered for so great a despot? If this is the case, it behooves us to do some thinking about what we are fighting. To what extent is our country in the grips of intolerance to cause one to bring forth such an answer? Are the principles laid down by our ancestors carried that far from their intent? We are fighting a war to give minority races in other countries a chance to have their voice in government while our own problems are unsolved. Soldiers have an unequaled opportunity for detached thinking, and it's time that we begin thinking along some of these lines so that when we return, we will have some positive ideas on the subjects which will be put before us as citizens on which we vote. We can see in the foreign lands what racial prejudice and minority suppression has caused, and gain wherefrom a lesson. Religion gives us the most objective view on the subject and must be considered. Let us pray God that we will be prepared to lead our country in these perilous times which are going to come after this war, that we will follow His direction and guidance even in it. Signed, Private Buck. And isn't it amazing? That was written in 1944. We can look back with the lens of history now and know what has unfolded in our country. During World War II, of course, it was a segregated military. And what insight from a foxhole from Private Buck. That was the pseudonym of a then 27-year-old Stan Lindquist. And when I read those words and so many other similarly inspired columns, I told Stan and his son Brent, you guys need to publish this. They had printed some up for family after Brent had discovered them in the 90s. But for me, I could see just how powerful these letters from combat could be for members of our military today, and really for any of us. I certainly gobbled them all up myself in reading. So I told him, you've got to put this in a book and get it out there so people can read it. And little did I know that they would do that in a wonderful way with a great effort involving many members of their family. This interview that you're about to hear took place right after that book was published in 2007. Stan Lindquist had six older brothers and sisters. And because his father was a pastor starting churches here, there, and everywhere, Stan grew up in Texas, Nebraska, Washington, finally here in California. And while attending Fresno State, he met a young lady named Ingrid from Kingsburg. So Kingsburg, California is where he was when America was drawn into World War II. And that's where we're going to pick up the interview. You went into the service in 1943, right after the birth of your first son, Douglas. But you thought you were going to have to go in earlier than 1943. Uncle Sam cut you a little break, didn't he?
Right, sure did. I was all set. I was interviewing at the draft board. My number was very low. I think it was 76. And they wanted to know how I felt about going in. And I said, well, I obviously didn't feel good about it particularly, but I was ready. However, my wife was pregnant, and we had already lost one child at 3 months. And as her three-month period was going to be coming up in a couple of months, I asked if I could be deferred for 2 months at any rate. They instead said, no, it's really a perilous time up until it's finished. So they deferred me for 1 year, and I was real happy for that. So I went home to tell Ingrid, and she was really pleased, too.
I bet she was. And you were in Kingsburg at the time. Your father had been a preacher, a church planter all over the country. He started quite a few churches, including the one that you attend now in Fresno, known as The Bridge. And anyway, there you are in Kingsburg. Eventually, that deferment ran out. You got to be there for that important time with your wife, but Uncle Sam would not let that last forever. And finally, he said, I want you. They found out you had a little bit of experience as a food inspector with the Department of Agriculture. So what did the Army decide that made you qualified for?
Well, one of the things that I had done in between, I was teaching school ordinarily. During the summer, I decided to get another job and earn a little more money. And this was a inspecting the plants and the packaged foods, especially raisins and fruits of that sort, dried fruits. And so then in doing that, part of our job was to inspect the facilities and be sure that they were clean and checked on the operation of it to be sure that it wasn't any contamination. So then the captain happened to see that I had been doing that, and he thought, well, the captain of the medical corps, that is. And he said, I think we should have him to come with me, because when I inspect the kitchens, he'll have had some experience about inspecting. So that's how I got in the medical corps.
As if anything can really be sterile in a war zone.
That's the truth.
So long before you became Dr. Stan Lindquist, you became an Army medic. And I get a kick out of tidbits like this. They stuck you on a ship headed overseas, and there were more people on that ship than in the entire city of Kingsburg where you'd been living.
Oh, my, many, many, many times more. And we were on the Queen Elizabeth, which was taken as a troop ship, and in my cabin, there were eight or nine of us in a cabin that was supposed to keep just two people. We were in bunks and triple bunks and sleeping on the floor, and it was really quite an amazing operation. But we went relatively fast, and because we went fast, then we didn't have the same escort that other slower troop ships had, because we could outrun the submarines in case they ran into them. So that was an advantage in itself.
Now, obviously, you had no idea what to expect once you actually got there, but what was your mindset like? What was your outlook? Here you are leaving behind a wife and a young baby back in Kingsburg, heading halfway across the world into this European war zone. What was going through your mind at the time?
Oh boy, that's kind of hard to recall. To me, I felt it was kind of a hopeless situation, really. And I just decided that what I was going to do is just do the best I could and take what came, regardless of what it was. If it was difficult and fearful, fine. Well, then we'll do what we could do with that. If it was just ordinary kind of routine work, I'll do that. So I'd sort of resign myself just to exist, really, is what it amounted to.
At some point, it hits you, though. I'm in a war. This is real. This isn't a game. What was that moment for you when the stakes became clear? When did you realize this is the real thing?
Well, I think when I hit the troop ship, I realized that was the real thing, because now I was on the way over. There wasn't any more waiting time. We spent days and days on the train to get across country. And one thing that amazed me was that at every stop we made in the middle of the night or whenever it was, there was always people. And they had coffee and donuts and things of this, cookies, all homemade for us. And how they ever figured out that we were coming through is more than I could figure out. But it was sort of a nice treat anyway.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Dr. Stan Lindquist, founder of the Link Care Center and author of Letters from Private Buck, Devotionals from World War II Combat. Those letters are an interesting story in themselves. Your son Brent, with whom you're very close for years and years, he had no idea that you had written these letters during the war. And there's dozens and dozens of these letters with inspirational messages. You sent them back home to your wife Ingrid while you're overseas, and she would pass them on to get published on this special section for servicemen in the Evangelical Beacon, the official magazine or newsletter of your denomination. And they went everywhere. I don't want to give everything away just yet, but Brent doesn't find out about any of this till more than 50 years later. This whole story is amazing. But while we're on the topic of these letters, this Private Buck column, as some may have experienced it then, why did you decide to start writing these letters? Was it for your own personal spiritual growth, or did you feel a call to encourage others? What was the genesis for that decision?
Well, really, I was sort of requested to do it by the editor of our paper, the editor of the servicemen's page. Then I thought, well, that would be a great chance for me to at least interact with other people, and hopefully my experiences and my faith, which I had in God, could be transferred and helped the other folks too, in case they didn't have that faith, and help them to learn how to deal with situations that were life-threatening in a way that was more positive and helpful. So I suppose that would be the motivation to do it.
Well, I'm sure that it did touch many people then. I know that I've been blessed in reading through it all these years later and really amazed at how relevant all your observations and sentiments are for our world today. When I first read them, they were in a spiral-bound notebook copied from the originals, but Dr. Stan and his son Brent worked very hard to get them typed up, add a little new content, and put it together in the paperback book, Letters from Private Buck, Devotionals from World War II Combat. This is all from a Christian perspective, but I really think there's value here for you regardless of whether you're a Christian, wherever your faith or what your faith is. You get inside the mind of somebody on the ground in combat situations during World War II, and you see some of the things that he saw and get his perspective on what was happening around him and how that would impact the future. I'm going to read you a little excerpt. I realize chronologically we might end up a little back and forth this time, but this is a really striking entry, again in a column penned at the time under the pseudonym Private Buck. This one is actually from after the war had come to an end, and it gives you a real picture of what people are dealing with in the wake of war and what was on Stan Lindquist's heart as he wrote from his perspective of faith. Dated September 11th, 1945, came with the headline, More on Peace, and it reads, On VJ Day, a man offered up a prayer in which he expressed thanks that with the war over, we, quote, could return again to normal living. I thought of George. He would never return. His beloved family would never be the same without him. Return again to normal living? Hank, blind because of a mine explosion, was destined to live a life of darkness, getting used to living in a media where his only guide would be the arm of a friend, the tug of a devoted dog, the tapping of a cane. Return to normal life? Hal, his face completely disfigured so that one could hardly determine what were his features as a result of a plane crash. Return to normal living? Mac, who lost a leg in the Battle of the Bulge. To return to any kind of normal living would be a matter of constant adjustment and hardship. Return to normal living? Those of us who were not blighted in quite that way, but who have given a portion of our lives to our country's preservation, and who, because of horrible experiences, can never be the same, can we return to normal life? My heart cries, no, there can be no return to normal living. There must be a return to living in a way which justifies the time spent and the work done, which can be justified to those who gave their lives to keep our country in the way it should be, which can in some measure help those who are permanently maimed. What way can be better than to purpose anew in our hearts that we shall serve God as never before, we shall live so that others can see that Christ means more than an easy road to keep from going to hell, we shall devote that portion of our life which God says to spend in His service anew to the great ideal of walking in His steps. Again, signed, Private Buck. Those are words written nearly 70 years ago by Dr. Stanley Lindquist, revisiting this interview in the wake of his death at the age of 96. What an incredible impact he had in the areas that really mattered to him. And those descriptions of veterans in the different states in which they returned from war or even didn't return from war, that wasn't just hypothetical. We're going to hear about how Dr. Lindquist himself earned the Purple Heart when we come back. If you'd like to get a copy of this book, Letters from Private Buck, I have the information on our Hometown Heroes Facebook page, or you can call the Link Care Center, Dr. Stan's lasting legacy. We're going to tell you more about that later. But the number for the Link Care Center in Fresno is 559-439-5920. That's 559-439-5920. And I'll be back with more of Hometown Heroes right after this.